The Earth Spins in Space Among the Stars, Universal and MCA Company. Evening, an imposing colonnaded building on a university campus, Faber College, 1962. A Matty Simmons, Ivan Reitman production. National Lampoon's Animal House. Two smartly dressed young men, Larry and Kent, leave a tutorial block and walk across the college campus, starring John Belushi, Tim Matheson, John Vernon, Verna Bloom, Thomas Holtz, Cesare Danova. Also starring Peter Reigert, Mary Louise Weller, Stephen First, James Dalton, Bruce McGill, Mark Metcalf, Dwayne Jesse, Karen Allen. James Widows, Martha Smith, Sarah Holcomb, Lisa Bauer, Kevin Bacon. And Donald Sutherland as Jennings. The young men wander past the imposing colonnaded building. Music, Alma Bernstein. They pass a statue of a man with mutton chop whiskers. An inscription says, Emil Faber, founder AD 1904. Knowledge is good. Edited by George Falsey, Jr., ACE. Art director, John J. Lloyd. Director of photography, Charles Correll. Written by Harold Ramis, Douglas Kenny, and Chris Miller. Produced by Matty Simmons and Ivan Reitman. Larry and Kent arrive outside a well-appointed fraternity house. Larry adjusts his tie and looks at Kent's cap.
Take off that beanie.
Hey, we're supposed to wear them to homecoming.
Don't be a fruit, okay?
Kent checks his armpits and breath. Okay. Directed by John Landis. A guy in a plaid jacket opens the door.
Hi there. Doug Niedermeyer, Omega Membership Chairman.
Larry Kroger.
He shuts the door on Kent.
This is my roommate, Kent Dorfman.
Hi there. Doug Niedermeyer. And these are our name tag hostesses, Mandy Pepperidge and Fab Jansen.
Hi there, Kent. Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Welcome to Omega House.
Thank you. Nice to...
Why don't we just go inside and meet some of the guys, huh?
Doug whisks the boys away.
Wimp and a blimp.
There are a lot of great guys, so don't feel you have to meet everyone.
Doug winks at the pianist.
We just want you to enjoy yourselves while you're here.
Well, Chip, I think you'll find that Omega House has more activities than most of the other fraternities on campus, and they're far superior, I think, to
man.
Oh, right there.
Hi there, fellas. I'd like you to meet Ken and Lonnie.
Larry.
Ken, Lonnie, I'd like you to meet Muhammad, Jugdish, Sydney, and Clayton. Now, just grab a seat and make yourselves at home. And don't be shy about helping yourselves to punch and cookies.
Doug has steered the boys over to Misfit's Corner. He leaves them and everybody exchanges awkward smiles. Kent looks over at Clayton, who's blind and in a wheelchair. The frat guys pitch to the cool kids elsewhere in the room.
Now, I'm not going to say that Omega's the best house on campus,
but a lot of outstanding guys figure they'll pledge Omega or they won't pledge at all.
We do have more than our share of campus leaders, something that never looks bad on your permanent record, Chip.
Well, sure. Everybody I talk to says Omega's the best, but I hate to seem, you know, pushy.
Let the unacceptable candidates worry about that, because after tonight, there you are, Kent! I'm Greg Marmalard, president of Omega House, and I'd like you to meet my friends, Mandy Pepperidge.
Hello.
Hi, we already met.
And Chip Diller.
How are you?
Hi, how are you?
And over there is Terry Arbach, captain of the swim team. And that's Carl Phillips, editor of the Daily Faberian. And Clayton, Sydney, Jugless, Muhammad, Lonnie.
Yeah, we already met.
Oh, super!
Then you'll have lots to talk about, huh?
Greg steered Kent back to Misfit Corner.
I don't know, Larry. I don't think you're trying very hard.
I hate this.
Look, no sweat. My brother Fred was a Delta. That makes me a legacy. They gotta take me. It's like their law. Don't worry. I'll put in a good word for you.
Great. I heard Delta's the worst house on campus.
A mannequin is held out of a window of shabby-looking Delta House. Larry and Kent walk up to a bloke taking a pee on the lawn.
Excuse me, sir, is this the Delta House?
Sure.
He wheezes on their shoes.
Come on in.
They follow their host, Bluto, up the steps of the house. Larry and Kent shake pee off their shoes as they go. Bluto smiles an inebriated but knowing smile at Larry and Kent, then opens the door for them and they step into chaos. Bluto knocks a box of beer cans out of a guy's hands, then catches a bottle someone throws him. Larry smiles and nods at Kent just before a bottle smashes against the door behind him.
Grab a brew! Don't cost nothing.
Bluto wanders off. A girl runs up to Kent and takes his cap off. Larry and Kent split up. Hands in pockets, chubby Kent wanders into a living room. People stand around chatting and drinking. Someone hurls a bottle through a window. Grinning, Kent makes his way over to a table where some guys are playing poker.
Hi, guys.
They completely ignore him.
You guys playing cards?
They all give him a withering look. Kent looks embarrassed, then smiles tightly and slopes off. Larry makes his way downstairs into the basement. He finds a bar has been set up down there. He goes over to it, and the girl behind the counter turns to him.
Hi! You want a beer? Larry?
Sure.
She hands him one.
Nice fish, huh?
They're inside fake breasts.
Hi, Larry. I'm Robert Hoover, chapter president.
Hi, Robert.
Katie, have you seen Boone?
He disappeared the minute we got here.
He's probably upstairs talking to Otter.
No doubt. They're well-known homosexuals.
Have another beer, Larry. She's just kidding. Right, Bluto?
Bluto crushes a can of beer against his forehead. In a room upstairs, Otto puts on some aftershave and trims his nostril hair with a pair of scissors. Another guy, Boone, is in with him.
You going out tonight, Otter?
Uh-huh.
Norma?
No, let me give you a hint. She's got a couple of Major League Yabos.
Beverly.
No, but you're getting warmer. Let me give you another hint. Does this ring a bell?
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Marlene. Don't tell me you're going to pork Marlene Desmond.
Pork?
Going to hump her brains out, aren't you?
Boone, I anticipate a deeply religious experience. Why are you so interested in my social life? Where's Katie?
Downstairs, pissed off about something.
She thinks you're an immature jerk, huh?
Yeah. I don't take anything seriously.
He leafs through a porno mag. Otto takes a large dildo out of a bag.
She'll take this seriously. Try it.
Hey, are you guys coming down?
This thing talk.
There happen to be 50 people downstairs waiting to try and get into this fraternity.
Otter, you are the Rush chairman. I think you should be present at the Rush party.
Someone rides a motorbike in through the front door and up the stairs. Kent is trying his luck with a girl.
Hi, my name is Kent Dorfman.
She nods and walks away. Otter greets the motorcyclist.
Hey, Eric Stratton, Rush chairman. Damn glad to meet you.
D-Day!
Hi, Eric Stratton, Rush chairman. Damn glad to meet you.
Hi, that was Eric Stratton, Rush chairman. He was damn glad to meet you.
Oh, Larry, good. I see you've met D-Day. Good, you're having a nice time. It's good.
Good.
D-Day drums on his throat.
Hey, Eric Stratton, Rush chairman. Damn glad to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Nice tie.
Is that a clip on by any chance?
Hey, Boone, come over and check this out.
Excuse me. Pardon me. Pardon me. Excuse me.
Pardon me. Excuse me.
Pardon me.
Oh, 90% rayon. Very nice.
Hi, boys. Having a good time, I hope? Excuse me. Hey, did your mother buy that for you?
Yeah.
Kent is a legacy otter. His brother was a 59, Fred Dorfman.
He said legacies usually get asked to pledge automatically.
Oh, well, usually, unless the pledge in question turns out to be a real closet case, like Fred.
My brother.
Kent, come on over here.
I like the time.
Great tie, don't you think?
Katie.
Otter steps up to a girl.
Hi, Eric Stratton, Russ Chairman. Damn glad to meet you.
Katie.
Where are you going?
Home, Dot.
We just got here.
No, Boone. You just got here. I've been downstairs for an hour entertaining some kid from Pig's Knuckle, Arkansas.
Maybe we could drive up to your folks' place this weekend.
Oh, fabulous. My car filled with your beer buddies going up to empty my parents' liquor cabinet? It's too depressing to think about.
No. It's just gonna be you and me. An otter and another girl.
Is this really what you're gonna do for the rest of your life?
What do you mean?
I mean, hanging around with a bunch of animals, getting drunk every weekend.
No. After I graduate, I'm gonna get drunk every night.
I think I'm in love with a retard.
Is he bigger than me?
She drops him on the ground as they dance. The colonnaded administration building. Greg Marmalade, the president of Amiga House, is with the dean, Vernon Wormer.
Greg, what is the worst fraternity on this campus?
That would be hard to say, sir. They're each outstanding in their own way.
Cut the horseshit, son. I got their disciplinary files right here.
He picks a file up off his desk.
Who dumped a whole truckload of fizzies into the swim meet? Who delivered the medical school cadavers to the alumni dinner? Every Halloween, the trees are filled with underwear. Every spring, the toilets explode.
You're talking about Delta, sir.
Of course I'm talking about Delta, you twerp!
This year it's going to be different.
This year we're going to grab the bull by the balls and kick those punks off campus.
What do you intend to do, sir? Delta's already on probation.
They are?
Yes, sir.
Oh. Then as of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
Double secret probation, sir?
There is a little known codicil in the Faber College Constitution, which gives the dean unlimited power to preserve order in time of campus emergency. Find me a way to revoke Delta's charter. You live next door. Put Niedermeyer on it. He's a sneaky little shit just like you, right? The time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Larry Kroger. All in favor?
Yeah. We need the dues.
Good. Larry Kroger is now pledged to Delta Tau Chi. Next slide, please, D-Day.
It's Kent. The Delta House brats all hurl beer cans and other missiles at his photo, which is being projected on a screen.
Just a minute. Just settle down. This is Kent Dorfman. He's a legacy from Harrisburg.
Okay, this guy is a real zero, that's true. Let's just think back to when you guys were freshmen, huh? Boone, you had a face like a pepperoni pizza, right? And Stork here. Everybody thought the Stork was brain damaged. I myself was so obnoxious, the seniors used to beat me up once a week. So this guy is a total loser? Well, let me tell you the story of another loser.
Missiles fly at Otter. Larry and Kent are awoken with fire extinguishers.
I state your name.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
With liberty and fraternity for all.
Amen.
Sergeant-at-Arms, do your duty.
Bluto steps forward.
From now on, your Delta Tau Chi name is Weasel. From now on, your name is Mothball. Kroger, You're a Delta Tau Chi. Name is Pinto.
Why Pinto?
Why not?
What's my Delta Tau Chi name?
Dorfman, you've given this a lot of thought. From now on, your name is Flounder.
Flounder?
The frat guys spray the new guys with beer. D-Day nods approvingly. As the jukebox plays, the guys dance drunkenly. Pluto starts mock headbutting Larry. The good-natured party sounds echo out into the night from Delta House. Across the way, Amiga House is silent. Inside, their new guys are undergoing their initiation ceremony, which looks something like a black mass.
We now consecrate the bond of obedience.
A ring is put on. One robed senior hands another a bat.
Assume the position.
Chip Diller bends over in his underwear and gets whacked with the bat.
Thank you, sir, may I have another? Thank you, sir, may I have another? Thank you, sir, may I have another?
Now, what can we say about John Milton's Paradise Lost? Well, it's a very long poem. It's written a long time ago, and I'm sure a lot of you have difficulty understanding exactly what Milton was trying to say. Certainly, we know that he was trying to describe the struggle between good and evil, right?
Kent doodles an aeroplane.
Okay. The most intriguing character, as we all know from our reading, was Satan. Now, was Milton trying to tell us that being bad was more fun than being good?
Mr. Jennings, the lecturer, pointedly bites into an apple. He looks disappointed by the lack of reaction from the students.
Okay. Don't write this down, but I find Milton probably as boring as you find Milton. Mrs. Milton found him boring, too. He's a little bit long-winded. He doesn't translate very well into our generation, and his jokes are terrible. But that does not relieve you from your responsibility for this material. Now, I'm waiting for reports from some of you.
I'm not joking. This is my job.
Come on, Amanda, honey. You know I tell you. Are you and Greg doing the dirty deed or not?
Greg doesn't believe in premarital intercourse.
Too bad. I think he's just dreaming.
The girls, who are in their cheerleading outfits, are unaware of Pluto looking up their skirts from under their seats. Out on the playing field, Chip is busy leading some cadets in a PE session. Some of the cadets are out of time with the others.
Four and one, two,
company, halt!
Larry and Kent are among the cadets. Doug rides up.
Stretch that line.
Doug, who rides a white horse, wears an officer's uniform festooned with gold braid and surmounted by a polished steel parade helmet. He inspects the cadets and salutes Chip. Chip returns the salute.
Rest that line, mister. Rest that line, soldier. Mister, hold my mount.
As Doug dismounts, Otter and Boone appear dressed in golfing gear. Boone selects a club.
You fat, disgusting slob.
You're a goddamn disgrace!
A vicious mother, isn't he?
Yeah. He can't do that to our pledges.
Only we can do that to our pledges.
Redo those buttons! Dress that belt buckle, straighten that cap, and goddammit, tuck up those pajamas! Attention! Front.
All this to Kent.
What's that on your chest, mister?
It's a pledge pin, sir.
A pledge pin on your uniform!
hooked it. Shit.
Boone's golf ball flies through a window and lands in a vat of soup in a kitchen.
Just tell me, mister, what fraternity would pledge a man like you?
It's a Delta pen, sir.
Slice.
The ball breaks the dean's office window and shatters a jug on his desk.
You will report to the stable tonight and every night at 1900 hours. And without that pledge pin! Do you understand?
Kent nods. Doug turns away from him.
Your left arm is straight, but you're not keeping your head down.
You're all worthless and weak. Now drop and give me 20.
The cadets start doing press-ups. Boone tees off again and the ball hits Doug's horse, making it rear up.
Whoa! 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 Kick back and range! The pin turn!
Always try to hit through the ball.
Whoa!
Boone's next ball hits Doug on the head and he falls from the saddle. He's dragged along with one foot in the stirrup.
I gotta work on my game.
No. Don't think of it as work. The whole point is just to enjoy yourself.
Boone and Larry, a.k.a. Pinto, walk with Katie.
Now, I want you to fix Pinto up, but it's got to be a very special girl.
Listen,
now,
we don't
she should be decent looking, but we're willing to trade looks for a certain kind of morally casual attitude.
Oh, you mean you want somebody you can screw on the first date?
Well put. You see, Pinto's never been laid.
Hey!
What'd I say?
Look, you guys, don't embarrass me in front of Dave, okay? He's the only professor I like.
I know. Mr. Jennings is a wonderful teacher.
Now, teaching's a way of paying the rent until I finish my novel.
How long have you been working on it?
4.5 years.
It must be very good.
It's a piece of shit.
Jennings smiles. He looks down thoughtfully.
Would anybody like to smoke some pot?
Yeah.
You ever smoked before?
Sure.
When did you ever smoke pot?
I've done a lot of things you don't know about.
Yeah?
Jennings grins and gets up. He goes over to the window and closes the blind. Larry watches as Jennings walks over to the front door, bolts it and puts the security chain on. He checks it's locked fast, then turns off the lights. He grins broadly. Now by candlelight, the four share a joint. Katie takes a drag and passes the spliff to Boone. He passes it on to Jennings. Jennings takes a drag and offers the joint to Larry.
I won't go schizo, will I?
There's a distinct possibility.
Somewhat apprehensively, Larry takes the joint. He tentatively puts it to his lips and takes a puff. He lets the smoke escape from his mouth.
Is this right?
Just try not to drool quite so much on the end of it.
Larry nods and takes another large pull on the joint. His cough blows out the candles. Jennings lights another joint.
Hey, Paula. I wanna marry you. Hey, Paula. Nobody else could ever do. I've waited so long for school to get through. Get through, Paula. I can't wait no more for you.
Okay. So that means that our whole solar system could be like one tiny atom in the fingernail of some other giant being. Oh, this is too much. That means that one tiny atom in my fingernail could be
one little tiny universe.
Larry holds his hand to his head.
Could I buy some pot from you?
Jennings eyes him suspiciously. In the stables, Kent is trying to muck out Doug's horse, but the horse becomes agitated. Kent wags a warning finger at the horse, which just makes it more agitated. It paws the ground and kicks up its legs. Kent cowers in the corner of its stall. Now sporting a neck brace but still in uniform, Doug marches into the stables. He sees Kent struggling with the horse and marches over to him.
Give me that.
He takes Kent's shovel and pushes Kent on the ground. He gives the horse a carrot.
Yeah. Yeah, baby. Good baby, yes, all right, you stupid.
He pulls Kent up and drags him out of the store.
Dorfman, for God's sake, what kind of man hits a defenseless animal?
I've got a good mind to smash your fat face.
Now listen up, you nauseating pile of blubber. Your days are numbered here at Vegas. You and all your sick Delta buddies. Meantime, your ass belongs to me. Now drop and give me 20.
Yes, but...
Hit it!
Aw, trooper, baby, baby trooper.
Kent has to do the push-ups on horse crap.
Come here, baby. Come here, yeah, baby, yeah, come on. Yeah, cutie pie, come on.
D-Day and Bluto sneak into the stables.
I want these quarters standing tall by 0900 tomorrow. You got that?
Yes, sir!
Doug treads Kent into the muck as he goes.
Brother D-Day, Brother Bluto!
You ain't that yin-yang?
Who?
Niedermeyer. You hate his guts, right?
I guess so.
You guess so?
Yes, I hate him. I hate his guts.
Look, now we have an old saying in Delta. Don't get mad. Get even.
D-Day whispers in Kent's ear. Bluto scurries across the darkened campus. He slips over, then pulls himself to his feet. He looks around agitatedly, then runs on a bit, pausing frequently to look around. He scurries up the front steps of one of the campus buildings and beckons D-Day and Kent over. They have Doug's white horse with them. They lead the horse up the steps and go into the building. They make their way into Dean Wormer's office and leave the horse there.
Nice horse. Good. Come on, let's go. Go.
Outside the office, they stop and smirk.
He's in there. Oh boy, is this great!
A gun.
Now finish it, Flounder.
Are you kidding? I never shot anything before in my life.
I thought you hated Niedermeyer's guts.
I do.
And what about that horse? Is there anything in the world you hate as much as that horse? Get it over with, Kent.
D-Day cocks the pistol and hands it back to Kent. Bluto pats Kent on the back as he apprehensively walks back to the office.
Just blanks, right?
Right.
Kent looks back at them. Bluto gives him a clenched fist salute. Kent nervously opens the door and goes back into the office. The horse becomes agitated and rears up. Kent aims the gun unsteadily at it. Outside, D-Day and Bluto are killing themselves. Unable to do it, Kent aims the gun in the air and pulls the trigger. The horse has a heart attack and keels over. Alarmed, D-Day and Bluto run back into the office and find Kent staring at the dead animal.
Holy shit! There were blanks in that gun!
I didn't even point the gun at him!
Holy shit! There were blanks in that gun!
Maybe he had a heart attack!
Holy shit!
They run out of the building. The next day, the mayor is with Dean Wormer. A guy is measuring up the dead horse.
If you want the homecoming parade in my town, you have to pay.
Carmine, I don't think it's right that you should extort money from the college.
Look, as the mayor of Faber, I've got big responsibilities. And these parades are very expensive. You're using my police, my sanitation people, my free Oldsmobiles. So, If you mention extortion again, I'll have your legs broken.
Well, I'm sure I can arrange a nice little honorarium from the student fund.
And another thing. You better sit on that zoo fraternity of yours. I don't want no drunken riots in my town.
Don't worry, Carmine. I've got those boys just where I want them. We'll have the best homecoming parade Faber's ever had.
The guy measuring up the horse comes back with a chainsaw to dismantle it. Bluto is in the college canteen. He eyes a couple of girls as they put their dirty plates aside. Don't know much biology. He notices a golf ball in a bowl of soup one of them left. He picks the bowl up, takes out the ball, and eats it. Otter goes and joins Mandy at a seat by the window.
Mandy! Mandy Pepperidge, well, I haven't seen you since we...
Go away!
I'm sorry, I could only stay a minute. Let me buy you some lunch. Oh, you've got your lunch. Well, how about some milk? You got your milk, too. Well, can I just massage your thighs while you eat?
Do I have to leave?
Is this any way to treat an intimate friend?
Bluto walks along the self-service counter of the canteen. He helps himself to a chocolate eclair, eating about 3/4 of it and putting the rest back. He loads his tray with several Danish pastries and donuts. He then helps himself to 3 apples, a bunch of bananas, and another pastry. Moving on, he takes some packets of pre-packed sandwiches and stuffs them into his pockets. He opens a packet of sandwiches and crams them into his mouth. He grabs a plated meal and some more sandwiches, then selects a plate of jelly. He looks around shiftily before wolfing it down. He adds a couple of bowls of ice cream to his tray before picking up a burger and cramming that into his mouth. Otter is still with Mandy.
I asked you never to speak to me again. Now will you go away?
Bluto approaches Doug and some of his cadet buddies.
I do hope we're not interrupting anything, Mandy, honey.
Well, if you must know...
Eric was just leaving.
Oh, no, I wasn't. Well, I could make you leave if you asked me... Bluto! Hey, I think you know everybody here.
Bluto raises an eyebrow.
Ray, really, can't you...
Oh, no, don't worry. Just keep your hands and feet away from his mouth.
Don't you have any respect for yourself?
Bluto scoffs jelly.
This is absolutely gross. That boy is a P.I.G. pig.
Bluto finishes his mouthful of jelly and holds up a finger.
See if you can guess what I am now.
He shoves an entire meringue into his mouth and chews it a bit, then squashes his mouth, shooting the masticated meringue over Doug, Chip and Fab.
I'm a zit. Get it?
All right, you bastard, let's go right here.
Doug and Chip chase Bluto. Bluto knocks a guy into Doug's table. Doug, who's still wearing a neck brace, tries to catch Bluto but misses him, as Bluto dodges more pursuers, they crash into Doug, knocking him over. Bluto races off out of the canteen with his pursuers hot on his heels.
Hey, why don't we go out tonight?
Otter, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
Otter points at his face and mouths something. Bluto comes back in. That night, some cars are parked at a beauty spot overlooking the town. Couples make out in them. Greg and Mandy are sitting in an open-top sports car.
Oh, Greg, look, it's a star. Look, let's make a wish. Come on. Starlight, star bright.
Hey, wait a minute, that's not a star. It's moving too fast. Probably a 707. Those babies really can't move across the sky.
She nuzzles his neck and looks disappointed.
Greg, is anything happening yet? My arm's kind of tired.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mandy. Just that thing with the deltas has me a little distracted.
I know.
God knows how they've molested women.
She looks down at his lap.
Anything?
Maybe a little faster. Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I bet that Eric Stratton's lucky he's not in jail.
I'll say.
What? You'll say what?
I'll say what?
You said I'll say when I said that Eric Stratton should be put in jail. I'm trying to figure out what you...
Darn it, Greg. If you're not even going to try, I'm just going to stop.
Well, Mandy, I...
She takes off rubber gloves. Later, they pull up back on the college campus. Lurking in the shadows is Bluto. He watches as Greg and Mandy get out of the car and walk towards the building. They stop outside the front door. They share a brief kiss, then Mandy goes inside and Greg walks back to his car. Bluto breaks cover and waits for Greg to drive off. Once he's gone, Bluto runs around the back of the house. He looks at an upstairs window and sees the silhouette of two girls getting changed. Looking around, he spots a ladder lying on the ground. He runs over and gets it, then leans it up against the side of the house. He climbs up to the window and peers in. Inside, a number of topless girls are having a pillow fight. Bluto gawps as Mandy comes in.
No, she's
your boyfriend. She's still your boyfriend.
Her boyfriend.
Her boyfriend.
Yes, sir.
And not your boyfriend.
How did Speaking you of boyfriends, Mandy, how was your date with Greg?
Good night.
As Mandy goes into the next room, Bluto hops the ladder sideways to the next room window so that he can look in. Mandy seems oblivious to the noise and starts undressing. Bluto stares as she stands in her underwear and reaches round behind her back to undo her bra. Bluto looks at us and raises his eyebrows. Mandy takes her bra off, giving Bluto a good eyeful. She makes to pull her pants down, but lingers, gently caressing her body. She pushes her hands down her pants. Bluto falls backwards on the ladder and slams into the ground. The next day, a secretary is busy printing psychology exam papers. She removes the carbon paper from the printer and puts it in the bin. A bit later, Chip carries a carbon paper over to the bin and removes the printer carbon paper from it before replacing it with his own. The janitor who chopped the horse up comes in and empties the bin into a sack. He takes the sack to a refuse point and empties its contents into a dumpster. Later, D-Day is busy sifting through the contents of the dumpster. He holds a torch in his mouth as he does so. Suddenly, Bluto pops up out of the dumpster, clutching a carbon paper.
That's it.
Bluto hops out of the dumpster, and they walk off. Watching nearby are Greg and Chip. They share a conspiratorial smile. Later, in a classroom, students are sitting the exam. A master invigilates as the students work. Robert looks over his shoulder and smiles at Bluto, who raises his eyebrows. Boone glances over his shoulder at Kate. Further down the room, Greg taps one of his housemates on the back and they share a sneering smirk. Later, the residents of Delta House congregate in their common room.
Well, she broke her date. Washing her hair.
Dead mother.
We're in trouble. I just checked with the guys at the Jewish house and they said that every one of our answers on the psych test were wrong.
Everyone?
Looking at Bluto and D-Day.
Those assholes must have stolen the wrong fucking exam.
Dean Wormer walks into the house.
Oh, God, look what just creeped in.
Well, well, well.
The guys hurriedly hide booze.
Looks like somebody forgot there's a rule against alcoholic beverages. Infraternities on probation.
What a tool.
I didn't get that, son. What was that?
I said, what a shame that a few bad apples have to spoil a good time for everyone by breaking the rules.
Put a sock on it, boy. Or else you'll be out of here like shit through a goose.
Yes, sir.
Now, have you boys seen your grade point average yet? Well, have you?
I have, sir. I know it's a little below par.
It's more than a little below par, Mr. Hoover. It stinks! It's the lowest on campus. It's the lowest in Faber history!
Well, sir, we're hoping that our midterm grades will really help our average.
Laugh now. Because you clowns have been on double secret probation since the beginning of this semester.
Double secret probation?
And that means one more slip up, one more mistake, and this fraternity of yours has had it at Faber.
Wormer stalks out.
Well, that was pleasant. Nice of him to stop by, don't you think?
We've got to do something. He's serious this time. I think he knows about the exams.
He's right.
You're right. We gotta do something.
Absolutely.
You know what we gotta do? Toga party.
We're on double secret probation, whatever that is. We can't afford to have a toga party.
You guys up for a toga party?
Toga! Toga!
I think they like the idea, Hoove.
Oh, Otter, please don't do this.
I got news for you, pal. They're gonna nail us no matter what we do. So we might as well have a good time.
Toga! 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 Toga!
It's not gonna be an orgy. It's a toga party.
Honestly, Boone, you're 21 years old. 6 months, you're gonna graduate, and tomorrow night, you're gonna wrap yourself up in a bedsheet and pour grain alcohol all over your head. It's cute, but I think I'll pass this time.
You want me to go alone?
Baby, I don't want you to go at all.
It's a fraternity party. I'm in the fraternity. How can I miss it?
I'll write you a note. I'll say you're too well to attend.
It's funny. Very funny.
Katie stares after him as he walks away. Kent has a black car.
Woo! Hoo-ha! Where'd he get the wheels?
From his brother.
Yeah?
He's letting him use it for a week or so.
Uh-huh.
Flounder's bringing his girlfriend up for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Flounder, I am appointing you pledge representative to the social committee.
Gee, Otter, thanks. What do I have to do?
It means you have to drive us to the Food King.
Food King.
The guys all pile in the car and drive off. In a supermarket, Otter picks up a bottle of vegetable oil and tosses it in the air. Kent catches it. Otter lobs other stuff to him.
Otter, please.
The stuff keeps coming until Kent can catch and hold no more. He drops the stuff. Boone adjusts Larry's clothing.
What are you doing?
I'm fixing your sweater. There you go.
Boone swipes packets of meat from the meat counter and shoves them down Larry's sweater.
Now look, keep on me. Keep your sweater closed.
Hey, I could get in trouble.
That's right. So... cool.
Boone crams a joint of meat in, then puts his arm around Larry and they walk off. Otter and a woman buy some cucumbers.
Mine's bigger than that.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, my cucumber. It's bigger.
The woman smiles.
Vegetables can be really sensuous, don't you think?
No. Vegetables are sensual. People are sensuous.
Right. Sensual. That's what I meant. But by the way, my name is Eric Stratton. They call me Otter.
My name's Marion. They call me Mrs. Wormer.
Oh, we have a Dean Wormer at Faber.
What a coincidence. I have a husband named Dean Wormer at Faber. You still want to show me your cucumber?
He shrugs sheepishly. Boone and Larry at the checkout.
Nothing for me today, thanks.
To Larry.
It looks like you gained some weight since you came in.
It's just a prank. I'm pledging the fraternity.
Don't sweat it, sweetie. I won't tell.
Larry smiles.
Well, we're having a little party at the Delta Tau Chi house tonight, and you are cordially invited.
Mrs. Wormer.
I'm old enough to be your mother.
Oh.
Almost. Besides, I have to go to the goddamn senior honors dinner tonight.
Well, maybe some other time.
Doubtful.
Maybe.
So if you're not busy, you want to go to a fraternity party?
Will I be home by 12?
Sure, anytime you want. I'll pick you up at...
My dad would kill me if he knew I was going to a frat house. Is it okay if I meet you there?
Is it okay? It's terrific.
Toga-clad guests arrive for the party. Otter opens the door.
Oh, girls, welcome to the Delta Toga Party.
Come in.
Here, let me take your coat. Oh, great pair of togas. Hey, why don't you help yourself to some delicious Delta Punch and I'll join you in a minute.
As soon as the girls' backs are turned, Otter tosses their coats on the floor. Outside, Kent opens his car door for his date and she steps out. Kent wears a suit and his date a regular dress. Inside, a guy juggles tennis rackets. As Kent and his date come in, they narrowly avoid being hit by a flying beer bottle. Kent takes his date's coat off her shoulders and hands it to her. Kent dabs a spray of beer off his face and escorts his lady friend into the living room.
She's moving up in the ladder.
This is Sissy, my steady girl. Sissy? This is the guy I was telling you about.
Hi.
Wow, you're even prettier than Ken said you were. What a great dress.
Yeah. Listen, you two talk while I get some punch for us, okay?
Good idea. All right. Guess we're a lucky guy. Wait, go sit down somewhere.
Three guys sit around a guy with a moustache who's playing the guitar on the stairs.
I gave my love a cherry that had no stone. I gave my love a chicken that had...
Toga-clad Bluto comes down the stairs and stops. He contemplates his next move.
A story that had no end.
Bluto grabs the guitar and smashes it to bits against the wall. He hands the remains back to the guy.
Sorry.
The girl from the supermarket checkout finds Larry.
Hi!
Great!
Saw you!
She knocks back a glass of punch he gives her.
I had to wait until my folks went out. Give me some more punch.
He gets her another.
Got a lot of catching up to do.
Larry watches slightly apprehensively as she glugs down the second glass of punch.
You wanna dance?
Huh?
Do you wanna dance?
Yeah!
Otis Day and the Knights take the stage.
You know you make me wanna shout. Kick my heels up and shout. Throw my hands up and shout. Throw my hands back and shout. Come on now, shout. We'll get to see you.
Everybody, including Bluto, dances energetically.
Say you will.
Say it right now, baby.
Say you will.
Come on, come on.
Say you will.
Say that you.
Say you will.
Say that you love me.
Say
that you need me.
Say
that you want me. You wanna please me. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. I want you to know.
Kent dances with Sissy and Larry kisses his date as they dance.
Hey, Otis!
been so good to me. You know you make me wanna lift my head.
Everyone squats down near the floor as they dance.
A little bit softer now, 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 a little bit louder now, a little bit louder now.
As the volume increases, they rise back up again. All the guys hit the deck and freak out on the floor. They get back up again. The band dance around in circles. Boone joins in with them. An extremely well-refreshed Mrs. Wormer crashes her car into a vehicle parked outside the house. She lurches drunkenly out of her car and takes a hip flask from her bag. She takes a good pull on it. Inside, Larry snogs his date from the supermarket. They head off upstairs. Mrs. Wormer staggers into the house and stares at a couple snogging. Otter spots her and comes over.
Mrs. Wormer, I'm so glad you could come.
Not the crap. Give me a drink.
Larry and his date go into a bedroom.
This is Hoover's room.
Oh, yeah, it's neat.
There's a Stars and Stripes flag pinned to the wall. Larry takes their drinks and puts them on a table. He turns to face his date. And they snog again. Larry sits on the bed and his date removes her petticoat from under her dress. She tosses it aside, then climbs on the bed and they resume snogging. Down in the basement, toga-clad couples are slow dancing. Bluto sits holding a jar of mustard. He tips it down his front. Larry unzips his date's dress. Otter switches on the light in his room, then adjusts it with a dimmer switch. He turns on some mood music and, eyeing Mrs. Wormer, switches on other lights, illuminating a bar and a bed draped in leopard and tiger print covers. The entire room is very Hugh Hefner. He takes Mrs. Wormer's coat and she tosses her bag aside. Otter takes the coat over to a clothes rail, puts it on a hanger, then drops it on the floor. He saunters over to a bar and gets two glasses. He loosens a tie around his bare neck and chucks ice cubes into the glasses, but does so too hard and the cubes bounce back out. Mrs. Wormer smiles drunkenly over at him. Larry and his date are still snogging. Larry struggles to undo her bra strap as they make out. Otter hangs Mrs. Wormer's dress on a hanger, then drops it on the floor. He saunters over to her as she stands in her underwear and picks her up in his arms. He carries her over to the bed and she kicks off her shoes. One of them smashes through a glass-topped table. They start snogging. Larry is still struggling with his date's bra. He looks up from the seemingly undoable item of clothing.
I think it's locked or something.
She sits up, straddling him, and slips the bra straps off her shoulders. She takes some gum from her mouth and tosses it aside. She reaches behind her to undo the bra clasp, and Larry slides his hands under her bra. She keels over asleep, leaving him with two handfuls of padding from inside her bra. As he looks over at her, a devil appears by his right shoulder.
Fuck her. Fuck her brains out. Suck her tits, squeeze her buns. You know she wants it.
An angel appears at his left.
For shame! Lawrence, I'm surprised at you!
Ah, don't listen to that jack-off. Look at those gazongas. You'll never get a better chance.
If you lay one finger on that poor, sweet, helpless girl, you'll despise yourself forever!
Larry takes a breath and sighs.
I'm proud of you, Lawrence!
You homo!
The angel and devil disappear. Later, Larry wheels his still-unconscious date along in a shopping trolley. They arrive outside the mayor's house. Larry wheels the trolley up the front drive and parks it outside the front door. He presses the doorbell and then runs for it. A light comes on in an upstairs window. More lights come on and the mayor steps out of the house in his dressing gown. Seeing his daughter in the trolley, he raises his arms in exasperation. She wakes, smiles and waves. Dean Wormer's on the phone.
My fault? For Christ's sake, Carmine, how the hell could it be my fault? One of those goddamn fraternities, I guess. I don't know, but I got a pretty good goddamn idea which one. I'm gonna string him up by the balls, that's what I'm gonna do!
His drunken wife takes her feet out of his face and falls off the bed. The next day, the college paper, The Faberian, bears the headline Delta Probation Hearing. Another article is headed Mrs. Marion Wormer to Vacation at Sarasota Springs. Greg and Bab are at the hearing.
I just bet it was that Eric Stratton.
You know that for sure?
Well, no, but you'd be surprised at some of the girls he's had. Very surprised.
Bluto races down a staircase, followed by Katie and Boone.
Must have been some party.
Unbelievable. A new low. I'm so ashamed.
Gee, I'm almost sorry I missed it. What'd you do? Human sacrifice?
No, just some harmless fun. Buy me a dinner tonight?
Can't tonight. Busy.
Busy tonight?
Boone stares after her. Otter comes up behind him and pats him on the shoulder. They hurry to the probation hearing. As Boone, Otter, and Robert come in, all the other frat guys cheer enthusiastically. Otter holds his briefcase up and taps it. They sit down at a table near the front.
Please take your seats. This meeting of the disciplinary council will now come to order.
We'll waive minutes and proceed directly with charges against Delta Tau Chi. Sergeant at arms.
Doug, now minus his neck brace, gets to his feet.
The following charges are brought. First, that the Delta House did knowingly violate the rules governing pledge recruitment by serving alcohol to freshmen during pledge week and after established drinking hours.
I'd like to address these charges one at a time, if I may.
You'll get your chance, smart guy. Now get on with it.
Second, that for the fifth consecutive semester, Delta has achieved a deficient aggregate grade point average.
Well, half the houses on campus didn't make grades last year.
You will speak when you're told to speak and not before. Read.
Third, that the Delta fraternity routinely provided dangerous narcotic diet pills to its members during...
That's not true!
Not another word.
During midterm examination week. And, most recently, that a Roman toga party was held, from which we have received 24 reports of individual acts of perversion so profound and disgusting that decorum prohibits listing them here. These are the charges as recorded this day, 15 November 1962. Faithfully submitted, Douglas C. Niedermeyer. Sergeant at arms.
Well done.
Robert Hoover will speak on behalf of Delta House.
Robert gets to his feet and gestures to his frat guys to keep the noise down.
I don't think you can fully judge a fraternity without looking at the positive qualities of the people in it. The Delta House has a long tradition of existence to its members and to the community at large.
I think we've heard enough, Mr. Chairman.
I was told I'd have a chance to...
That's enough. The court will now render a decision.
Well, look, you said I could speak.
He said that's it!
Are you deaf?
Let's finish this damn thing.
Blowjob! 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 I don't think it's fair.
I'll tell you what's fair, what's not.
Eat me! Eat me! Tell those assholes to shut up.
Hey, shut up, you assholes!
Mr. President, do we have to listen to any more of this?
Point of parliamentary procedure.
Don't screw around. They're serious this time.
Take it easy. I'm in pre-law, man.
Thought you're pre-med.
What's the difference? Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be brief.
I think he's empty.
The issue here is not whether we broke a few rules or took a few liberties with our female party guests. We did. But you can't hold a whole fraternity responsible for the behavior of a few sick, perverted individuals. For if you do, then shouldn't we blame the whole fraternity system? And if the whole fraternity system is guilty, then isn't this an indictment of our educational institutions in general? I put it to you, Greg. Isn't this an indictment of our entire American society? Well, you can do what you want to us, but we're not going to sit here and listen to you badmouth the United States of America. Gentlemen!
The Delta guys walk out.
You're not walking out on this one, mister. You're finished. No more Delta. You bought it this time, Buster! I'm calling your national office! I'm going to revoke your charter! And if you wise guys try one more thing, one more, I'm going to kick you out of this college! No more fun of any kind!
The Delta guys watch sadly as the janitor removes the Delta sign from outside their fraternity house. Removal men carry their stuff out of the house and load it into a lorry. One of the removal men trips and drops a box of booze. Bluto is appalled. A cow is led out of the house.
When my father was in Korea, see, he wasn't a flyer. He was in the infantry, and he was an officer, of course. Born an officer.
How does it feel to be an independent, Schoenstein?
How does it feel to be an asshole, Niedermeyer?
What did he say?
Hoover says they won't even let us enter afloat in the homecoming parade.
Some stupid zombies get to ride a pile of Kleenex down the street? Rah-rah.
Hey, look!
Boone and Larry see the house being emptied.
Goddamn son of a bitch! I'll kill you, you scumbag jerk-off assholes! Jesus. What's going on?
They confiscated everything, even the stuff we didn't steal.
They talked the bar! The whole fucking bar!
Bluto vents his frustration by kicking a parked car. Otto pulls up in an open-top sports car and gets out. Seeing what's happening, he nods and grabs a bottle of Jack Daniels from one of the removal men. He tosses the bottle to Bluto, who opens it and guzzles it down in one go.
Ah, thanks. I needed that.
Christ. Otter. This is ridiculous.
What are we gonna do?
Road trip.
But you can't take the car! Otter Fred wrote the mileage down. He wants it back by Sunday. Please don't take the car. It's very important. He'll get very mad at me. You can't... No!
Otter bundles Kent in.
But Otter, don't you understand? He wants it back. Where'd you go? He wants it back by Sunday!
Smoking its tires, they pull away.
That's gonna kill me! This car is expensive!
They speed down a dirt road and plow through a puddle.
Please! Please! I'm in trouble!
Hey,
drive.
We won't tell anybody that it happened.
I hear Dickinson girls are fast. Well, what should I say? I mean, how should I handle it?
Just mention modern art, civil rights, or folk music, and you're in like Flint.
You sure we have dates?
Absolutely. Boone, what's this chick's name again?
Boone hands him a document.
Fawn Leibowitz. Fawn Leibowitz, and she was from Fort Wayne, Indiana.
I hope I score. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
It's dark as they drive onto the campus of Emily Dixon College. They pull up outside a building.
Turn the car around. I'll be right back.
Otter goes into the building while the others turn around in the car. Otter opens a pair of double doors and looks inside. He straightens his jacket as he walks in. He goes over to a girl with long brown hair sitting at a desk.
Excuse me.
Can I help you?
Well, I'm here to pick up my date. Could you ring Fawn Leibowitz for me?
Fawn Leibowitz? Just a minute.
She picks up the phone.
Hello, Shelley. This is Brunella at the desk. Could you come down here? Now. Because a boy just came in to pick up Fawn, that's why. Thank you.
Is she coming down?
Her roommate is. Fawn isn't here. She...
Brunella looks awkward.
Would you excuse me a minute?
She goes. Otter turns round and sees two girls coming downstairs.
Evening.
They walk on. Otter paces a bit, then turns around and sees another girl coming down the stairs. She walks up to him.
Hi, I'm Shelley Dubinsky, Fawn's roommate.
Hi, I'm Frank Lyman from Amherst, Fawn's fiancé.
Well,
actually, we're engaged to be engaged. What's the matter with everyone around here?
Why don't we sit down, Frank?
Sure.
They sit down on a buttoned leather sofa.
I don't know how to tell you, so I'm just going to tell you. Fawn's dead.
She's dead? Oh, did she put you up to this? Oh, that minx. What a lively sense of humor.
She shows him a newspaper cutting.
Sophomore dies in kiln explosion? Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm terribly, terribly sorry, Frank.
I just talked to her last week. She was going to make a pot for me.
Oh, if there's anything I can do.
Oh, you're so nice. I really should impose on you.
No, really. Anything.
Well, I just don't think I should be alone tonight. Would you go out with me?
I'll get my coat.
Shelley gets up.
And could you get 3 dates for my friends?
Back on the road, the boys sit in the car with the 4 girls. Kent has wound up with a minger, while Larry sits with Brunella.
Otter, holy shit, Otis Day and the Nights, I don't believe this!
Appearing at a nightclub.
Feels so good to be back here at the Destillate Club. We like to do for you now a tune entitled Shamalama Ding Dong. So hit it!
Otter shunts Kent's borrowed car into the back of another vehicle in the car park. They park up and get out.
Wait till Otis sees us! He loves us!
Kent looks at the car.
Oh my God! It's dented! It's dented!
Otter pats him on the shoulder.
It's dented.
They go into the club, which is full of black people. Everyone stares at the white kids.
We are gonna die.
Boone, we're the only white people here.
Who love me the way that you...
They make their way over to a table in the corner and sit down. A waitress eyes them as they go.
You sure
don't worry about a thing, man.
Boone confidently swaggers up to the bar. He eyes a couple of black girls there and calls to the barman.
Double rock and rye and 7 Carlings.
He looks over at Otis on stage.
Otis! My man!
Otis regards him uncertainly. Slightly wrong-footed, Boone turns to a woman beside him and nods. She completely ignores him. He looks at the guy on the other side of him, and the guy pointedly holds up a flick knife and opens it.
You girls come here often?
The girls stare at Larry.
Hi. Are you all right?
Yeah. This is really fun.
He shakes his head and, feigning grief-stricken angst, gets up from the table. The others stare after him as he goes outside. Shelley gets up and goes after him. Otter sits, waiting in the back of the car. Shelley gets in and sits beside him.
I'm really sorry, Frank. I know what you must be going through.
He looks up at her, then nods sadly.
Would you rather be alone?
She rests her hand on his shoulder. He shakes his head and pats her hand. She leans forward and plants a gentle kiss on his cheek. Otter responds by planting a kiss on her cheek. In the club, Larry chats to Brunella.
So what are you majoring in?
What?
What are you majoring in?
Primitive cultures.
Ooh, mama.
I need you so much.
Otter and Shelley are now snogging properly.
I'm here, Frank, I'm here.
They kiss enthusiastically.
Move to your left a little. Good.
They carry on snogging. In the bar, the guy with the flick knife sits down beside Kent. Kent smiles and attempts to make conversation.
Where do you go to school?
The guy gives him a look.
I wonder where Otter is. Maybe I should go outside and look for him.
Brunella stops Larry from going. Otter gropes Shelley's tits.
Oh, I used to touch fawn this way.
I know. She told me.
She did?
Otter starts pulling her top up. In the club, another black guy towers over Kent, who smiles up at him. In the car, Otter has succeeded in getting Shelley's top and bra off. They carry on snogging. A huge third black guy looms over the white kid's table. Boone gets to his feet.
Do you mind if we dance with your dates?
Why, no, not at all. Go right ahead.
The guy rips the table up out of the floor.
No one else.
He holds his hand out to one of the girls, who looks very worried, and takes it.
If I was in your shoes, I'd be
leaving. What a good idea.
Kent, Larry, and Boone flee the club and find Otter and Shelley in a state of undress in the back of the car.
Hold it! Compose yourself, Otter! We gotta get out of here!
They leave Shelley.
The Negroes took our dates! Oh my God, Boone, please be careful! It's gonna cost hundreds of dollars to fix!
The four girls make their way home on foot.
What baffles me is why Fawn would have gone out with boys like that.
They reminded me of criminals.
They were horrible.
Well, I don't know. I think Frank was kind of cute.
Ew!
Well, I really felt sorry.
I don't understand.
Their...
I
felt
crying and I felt...
Ew!
The next morning, Boone's in a phone box outside an all-night diner. Getting no reply, he hangs up and steps out of the phone box. He joins the other guys in Kent's brother's now very beaten up car. The guys are eating and drinking sodas.
What'd Katie say?
She wasn't home. Where could she be at 6 in the morning?
What is with you two?
I don't know. Something's wrong.
Women. Can't live with them. Can't live without them.
The guys give Kent a withering look. Greg's with Bab.
Hey, you know where Mandy is? She was supposed to come over to help make tea.
Sure don't, Greg. Well, she said she was just gonna wash her hair.
That's typical. just when we're doing something important.
They're building afloat.
Greg, I hate to see him make such a chump out of you.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that Mandy and Eric Stratton are having an affair. But I love you, Greg. That's why I had to tell you.
Greg looks shaken to his core for a moment, then brightens up and smiles at Bab.
Babs, I want you to do something for me.
Pluto and D-Day guide Kent's car into a garage.
Good!
The door falls off as Larry gets out.
I'm out of here. Katie?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Boone heads off. Kent walks around his brother's car and inspects the colossal damage. He weeps. Pluto comes over to him. Pluto tries to cheer him up with a funny face, but to no avail. He tries making a kissy-kissy face. No good. Pluto tries crushing a beer can against his head. Kent is still miserable, so Pluto tries breaking a bottle over his own head. D-Day walks over to Kent.
Hey, stop hovering! When I get through with this thing, you won't even recognize it. Hey, come on, flounder! You can't spend your whole life worrying about your mistakes. You fucked up! You trusted us! Hey, make the best of it. Maybe we can help you.
That's easy for you to say. What am I gonna tell Fred?
I'll tell you what. I'll swear you were doing a great job taking care of his car. But you parked it out back last night. And this morning, it was gone. D-Day takes care of the wreck. We report it to the police. Your brother's insurance company buys him a new car.
Kent looks unsure.
Will that work?
Hey, it's gotta work better than the truth.
My advice to you is to start drinking heavily.
You better listen to him, Flounder. He's in pre-med.
Pluto and Otter do an elaborate handshake.
There you go now. Just leave everything to me.
D-Day lights a blowtorch. Boone walks up to a small house and lets himself in. Katie steps out of the kitchen, pulling on a blue top. She looks surprised to see Boone.
Hi, Katie.
She glances around, awkwardly.
I missed you.
Boone, I was going to try and call you.
Hearing the other guy's voice, Boone eyes her suspiciously.
Boone, I don't know what to say.
He turns and goes.
Boone, wait! Shit.
Must be in the kitchen.
The other guy is Mr. Jennings. He gives Katie a kiss and goes into the kitchen. He looks for something in a cupboard.
Yeah, there they are.
Otter.
Are you sure, Babs? I mean, why would Mandy want to see me?
Well, I'm sure I don't know, Otter. You just have to ask her. As soon as you can get there. Well, do you know the Rainbow Motel on Old Mill Road?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bab turns to Greg, who's strangling a teddy bear. He punches it.
Teddy!
Wormer.
Did you get the grid reports in the Devil's yet?
Oh, yes. I have it right here.
Why didn't you tell me?
He snatches it and opens it.
Oh. Good. Good, good, good.
He kisses his secretary and disappears back into his office. Otter pulls up in the parking lot of the Rainbow Motel. Waiting for him in a room are Greg, Doug, Chip and a couple of other guys. Otter walks up to the room, clutching a bunch of flowers.
It's Mr. Thoughtful with a dozen roses for you.
He steps inside.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5... Well, looks like we're going to be a couple of flowers short, so some of you boys are going to have to shit.
Greg whacks him and the others pile in.
Where are the other two? Stratton and Schoenstein?
We looked everywhere, sir, but
Never mind. It doesn't matter. Have you gentlemen seen your midterm grades yet?
Well, they're not posted yet, sir.
I've seen them.
Mr. Kroger.
Two C's, two D's, and an F. That's a 1.2 grade average. Congratulations, Kroger. You're at the top of the Delta Pledge class.
Bluto nods approvingly.
Mr. Dorfman.
Hello.
0.2. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son. Mr. Hoover, president of Delta House. 1.6. Four C's and an F. A fine example you set. Daniel Simpson Day. Has no grade point average. All courses incomplete. Mr. Bluto
stuck pencils up his nose.
Mr. Blutowski. 0.0.
Bluto raises his eyebrows.
Now I want you to tell Mrs. Stratton and Mr. Schoenstein exactly what I'm about to tell you now.
What's that, sir?
You're out. Finished at Faber. Expelled. I want you off this campus at 9 o'clock Monday morning. And I'm sure you'll be happy to know that I have notified your local draft boards and told them that you are now all eligible for military service.
Kent gulps uncertainly.
Well?
Kent gulps.
Out with it!
That night at the beauty spot overlooking the town, Greg sits in his open-top sports car with Bab. She works away at his crotch.
Relax, Greg, honey. You know, I know. Everybody knows that Otis certainly had it coming.
I don't think the Deltas will be giving us any more trouble.
No. Greg, honey. Hmm? Is it supposed to be this soft?
Bluto lies on the floor.
Christ. 7 years of college down the drain. Might as well join a fucking Peace Corps.
My mother's gonna kill me.
I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it.
I can't believe I threw up in front of Dean Wormer.
Face it, Kent. You threw up on Dean Wormer.
D-Day comes in with Otto, who's badly beaten up. He holds a handkerchief to his head and leans on D-Day for support. D-Day and Boone help Otto over to the sofa, and he sits down.
Jesus Christ, what happened? You look grotesque.
Oh, some of the Omegas did a little dance on my face.
Who was it?
It was Greggy and Dougie and some of the other Hitler youth.
Why, what'd you do?
I don't know. They're just animals, I guess.
He senses the gloomy mood.
Looks like I missed something.
Yeah, you did. We're all officially kicked out of school. Wormer just got our grades.
They kicked us out of school? Huh. That makes sense.
Hey! What's this lying around shit? Well, what the hell is supposed to do, you moron?
War's over, man. Wormer dropped the big one.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is! Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German?
Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now! Cause when the going gets tough!
Bluto looks around at the others as he tries to think what comes next.
The toughs get going! Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
He runs out on his own. No one follows him. A few moments later, he walks back in.
What the fuck happened to the Delta I used to know? Where's the spirit? Where's the guts, huh?
Everyone looks down glumly.
This could be the greatest night of our lives, but you're gonna let it be the worst.
Oh, we're afraid to go with you, Bluto. We might get in trouble.
Well, just kiss my ass from now on! Not me!
I'm not gonna take this! Wormer, he's a dead man! Marmalade, dead! Niggermeyer!
Dead! Ludo's right. Psychotic, but absolutely right. We gotta take these bastards. Now, we could fight them with conventional weapons. That could take years and cost millions of lives. No, in this case, I think we have to go all out. I think this situation absolutely requires a really futile and stupid gesture be done on somebody's part.
We're just the guys to do it.
Boone and D-Day get to their feet.
Let's do it.
They all rush out. Down in the garage, D-Day works on a car with a grinder. Bluto uses a drill on the roof. Now D-Day uses a welder on the car. Bluto carefully measures the windscreen, then smashes it with a hammer. It's dark as Larry walks up outside the mayor's house. He tosses a stone at an upstairs window. He tries again. He tries even harder. A light comes on and the mayor's daughter appears at the window.
Tommy?
Hi. Hi. I'm Larry. Remember me? I took you to the party?
Wait a minute.
She disappears back inside and a few moments later emerges from the front door.
So how come you show up now? I didn't expect to see you.
Well, I never got a chance to say goodnight to you after the party.
No kidding. I almost pumped my stomach.
Look, is it okay if we go for a walk or something?
What do you mean, or something?
Well, I could get some beer.
No, not tonight, okay? Besides, you might get lucky without it.
Later, they lie in the middle of a football field in a sleeping bag.
Before we go any further, there's something I have to tell you. I lied to you. I've never done this before.
You've never made out with a girl before?
No. I mean, I've never done what I think we're going to do in a minute. I sort of did once, but I was
drunk. Okay, Larry. Neither have I. And besides, I lied to you, too.
Oh, yeah? What about?
I'm only 13.
The mayor and the Wormers ride in an open car at the parade.
Hey! Hi there! Yes! Wow! Marvelous day, yes!
Excuse me, please. Okay, kid, off that mailbox. That's government property. Come on, let's go. Move it. Excuse me, please. Would you hold this?
Robert climbs on top of the mailbox.
Thank you very much.
He and the other Deltas line the parade route.
My kid can't see. Is it all right if he stands in front of you?
No.
Katie walks along with a camera around her neck. She spots Robert.
Hoover! Hoover! Hoover!
Ow!
Hoover, where's Boone?
Katie, I don't think you should stay around here.
What are you talking about?
He removes his shades.
We all got expelled last night.
What? Why? Where's Boone?
Katie, listen to me. I think you'd be glad later if you weren't here now.
He puts his shades back on and checks his watch. The mayor and the Wormers arrive on a podium and take their places. Kent, who also sports shades, is in a shop.
May I have 10,000 marbles, please?
The mayor steps up to a microphone.
It gives me great pleasure to present the ceremonial gold-plated whistle to this year honorary Grand Marshal Dean Vernon Wormer. Mr. Marshal, the streets of Faber are yours.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
A marching band sets off up the street. Open-top cars and colourful floats make their way up the street. Sitting on the mailbox, Robert claps. He checks his watch. It's 11 o'clock. Clutching a big box of marbles, Kent also checks his watch. D-Day sits in a vehicle and checks his watch, as does Bluto. His watch reckons it's 23 minutes to 6.
Let's go.
A parade float in the shape of a birthday cake sets off from Delta House. It has "Eat Me" written on the side of it. As the parade makes its way down the main street of the town, the crowds wave and cheer. An elephant is led along. The Amiga house float carries a likeness of JFK along with the slogan "The New Frontier." Another float features black and white hands holding with the slogan "Togetherness." Doug marches at the head of a contingent of cadets.
Secrets! Hut!
Hey! Fire!
The cadets twirl their rifles. Two Delta House guys dressed as security men check their watches. They exchange a nod and one of them goes. Robert slips off the mailbox and, carrying his briefcase, creeps past a soldier watching the parade. The birthday cake parade float speeds along a road with D-Day at the wheel. One of the Deltas, pretending to be a security man, marches alongside the band's baton-twirling drum major. He shoves the drum major aside and leads the band left off the main street and down a back alley. The band robotically follows him. D-Day puts his foot down as the cake parade float motors along a road. The security Delta leads the band to a dead end. He quickly nips aside and the band crash into a wall. Robert fastens a length of chain from his briefcase around a telegraph pole. Grinning, he plays the chain out behind him and sneaks up behind a float featuring a giant rabbit and some bunny girls. Robert attaches the other end of the chain to the float. As the chain tightens, the back is ripped off the float and the telegraph pole is pulled over. The front of the float crashes and one of the bunny girls is thrown into a boy's bedroom as he looks at a copy of Playboy.
Thank you, God!
Some guys on a Mongol float spot the birthday cake.
Say, those guys are coming pretty fast!
The birthday cake zooms up the street and D-Day slams it into the side of the Mongol float. The Mongol's float goes over a fire hydrant and water shoots out of the mouth and ears of an effigy of Genghis Khan on the back. The water blows Genghis's hat off. Dean Wormer grabs Greg.
What the fuck's going on down there?
I don't know.
Doug.
Let's stop this now! Charge!
As Doug and his cadets chase after the birthday cake float, Kent chucks the marbles onto the road. The cadets slip over on them.
Get off your faggots! Get off his car! Stand up and fight for Christ's sake!
The birthday cake barges the Amiga House JFK float. Bab, dressed as Jackie O, falls off it.
Faggots! Faggots!
Bab fell out of her dress as she tumbled from the float. As chaos reigns, some of the Deltas use a homemade mortar to launch smoke bombs into the crowd. Chip tries to restore order.
Remain calm! All is well!
The birthday cake rams the Togetherness float and splits it in half. The mayor and Dean Wormer watch in horror as the white hand crashes into a car showroom. The mayor starts throttling Wormer. More smoke bombs are launched. Inside the birthday cake, D-Day calls out. A cord is cut and a black armoured vehicle emerges from the cake. A couple of clowns on bicycles crash into the discarded cake.
Look!
The armoured vehicle, which is emblazoned with fangs, a skull and crossbones, and the slogan Deathmobile, pulls a handbrake turn in the street. It pulls up at the side of the road, and a hatch opens in the back. Bluto jumps out, dressed as a pirate.
Oh, my God!
Otter emerges from the turret. Otter salutes Bluto, who launches himself at a group of cadets. Otter disappears back inside the Deathmobile as Bluto scrambles up onto an awning over a shop. From there, he climbs up towards the roof. The Deathmobile revs its engine.
Let's take the cheese.
The Deathmobile launches towards the dignitaries' podium.
I hate those guys.
Dean Warmer and Greg look on horrified as the Deathmobile speeds towards them. Others run for it.
Raving speed!
The Deathmobile hits the podium, sending Dean Warmer, the mayor, his wife, Greg, and Mrs. Warmer flying. The podium collapses.
Oh boy, is this great!
Kent watches gleefully. Chip.
All is well!
You can take your thumb out of my ass anytime now, Carmine.
Remake!
Chip sees the panicked crowd running towards him and is trampled underfoot. Robert finds Dean Warmer amongst the wreckage of the podium.
This may seem an inopportune moment to ask, Dean Warmer, but do you think you could see your way clear to giving us just one more chance?
Robert Hoover, 1963, Public Defender, Baltimore, Maryland. Dean Warmer watches as a police car pulls up. The mayor's daughter and Larry find the mayor.
Daddy! Mom! Dad! This is Larry Kroger, the boy who molested me last month. We have to get married.
We should discuss this some other time, sir. I know that you're very busy.
Lawrence Kroger, 1966, editor, National Lampoon magazine. Greg climbs out of the wreckage and pounds on the side of the death machine. He climbs up on top of the vehicle.
Come on, you bastards!
Who is it?
You know damn well who it is!
I'm sorry, I have to come back later. I'm doing the dishes.
Otter climbs out of the rear hatch and walks up behind Greg.
Greg, look at my thumb!
Otter socks Greg in the face.
Gee, you're dumb.
Boss-eyed Greg sits up woozily. Gregory Marmalade, 1963, Nixon White House aide, raped in prison, 1974. Mandy gives Otter the A-OK sign. Otter gives her the thumbs up. Eric Stratton, 1963, gynecologist, Beverly Hills, California.
Whoa! Bye!
Oh, excuse me! Pardon me!
Otter and Boone flee from the cops. D-Day climbs out of the death machine. On the street, Doug takes a cadet's rifle and loads live rounds into it. Kent calls over to him.
I need a fire!
Doug aims his rifle at Kent and shoots, breaking a soda siphon Kent was holding. Doug loads another round into his rifle. As he aims it at Kent, he's hit by the runaway black hand of the Togetherness float. Douglas C. Niedermeyer, 1963. Killed in Vietnam by his own troops. Kent raises his fists victoriously. Kent Dorfman, 1966, sensitivity trainer and countergroups of Cleveland, Incorporated. D-Day gets in a police cruiser and backs it up the street, pulling a handbrake turn. Daniel Simpson Day, 1963, whereabouts unknown.
Don't you guys think you've had enough? Okay, now I'm really mad. Now you've had it.
Bluto is on top of a building.
No prisoners!
Katie and Boone share a kiss. Boone and Katie married 1964, divorced 1969. From the top of the building, Bluto spots Mandy beside an open car. He tosses his pirate sword over his shoulder and swings down onto the street on a banner. He tosses Mandy into the back of the car, yanks its driver out, and drives off. Bab had been hiding semi-naked behind it. Barbara Sue Jansen, 1963, tour guide, Universal Studios, Hollywood. Crowds run through the smoke-filled streets in panic. The marching band are still stuck in the dead end of the alley. Pluto and Mandy drive beside a lake in the open-topped car. Senator and Mrs. John Blutarski, Washington, D.C. ITFC audio description, written by John Walskill, read by Toby Mace.
Animal House.